Hey, everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of McMillan and Morrow. I'm Dr. Sean McMillan. This is Rich Morrow.
What up, what up, what up?
So, you picked the right night to be a part of all of this. The stories that we're going to cover come from around the world, around the country. Some of them will warm your heart. Some of them will make you good and mad. That's what we want to do. Take you through the full range of the human experience with a little laughter, a little wisdom, a little insight, and a lot of personality, right?
All of that.
All right. Rich guides us, and I don't know what the hell I do. I respond to whatever he's...
You give me great feedback and insight on what we could do better as a human race out of this. So we're going to start in your favorite place. Can you guess it?
New York.
Nope, it ain't New York again. Florida.
It's not my favorite place.
Starting off hot. So according to ESPN, which...
Ron DeSantis is a troll.
Here we go. Look, we can't be losing our Florida viewers because of your...
I'm not talking about the people of Florida.
Yeah.
I think the people of Florida are great. The governor of Florida is going to hell.
On that note, picture this. According to ESPN, you're having a great night at Disney World's Epcot.
You've been to Disney World. You going to ban Black history? You know what I'm saying? You're going, Black history is no educational value. Here are people go through 400 years of suffering and work themselves to the place where they can become the leader of the free world. That ain't no educational value. Hey. Hands that used to pick cotton are now picking presidents. That ain't no educational value.
I told y'all we were starting off hot today. Have you ever been to Disney World? In Florida? The Disney World in Florida?
I'm fired up.
I know. I'm like, we got to go to Disney World
Disney
right
World.
Now. I'm going to take you to Disney World to bring that down.
I have actually when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And my boy Reggie Thomas, who's going to kill me for telling this story, was walking around the big fountain and fell in it.
No.
Funniest thing.
How do you fall in it?
Being a numb nut. But go ahead.
Okay. So imagine you're having a great night at Epcot and you're watching your favorite band. And after the show, you head back to your car. And you see that your whole bumper is destroyed. It's on the ground. It looks like somebody beat your car with a sledgehammer. And on the windshield, there's a $100 note that says, sorry. How would you react? Because that's what happened to a man in Florida when he came out to his car from Disney World.
I'm sure the damage cost more than $100.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely more than $100. I have a picture of it,
So apparently somebody had a temper tantrum and then had a flash of conscience and thought, now that I beat the hell out of this man's car, I should leave something to...
$100 is probably...
to alleviate the damage that I've caused.
Man. Yeah, you know, I have a lot of different issues with my car every now and then. You know, people playing bumper cars out here.
What do you mean every now and then? There's not a week that goes by where you don't have problems, car problems.
Something.
Some sort.
Something. It's like I'm a magnet for bad drivers out here. But
You sure you're the magnet? Because you might be the bad driver.
I'm a good driver, man. I went years without nothing other than some parking tickets. I will say that. I have some parking tickets.
My point exactly.
Have you ever witnessed someone vandalizing a car? You know, maybe like an ex, you know, getting into it, or a couple that's fighting. You know, you hear, I haven't had to deal with anything this crazy just yet, but you hear stories of women slashing tires or, you know, people busting up windshields. Have you ever seen that happen in person yourself?
No.
No?
No, I've never... Thankfully, I've never had to witness that. Although, if I had, I would just call the police.
Yeah.
Like, listen, let the police. I know we don't want to call the police.
They said security
stuff.
Was contacted, but they ain't doing nothing.
Yeah, I'm like, let the police handle this.
Yeah.
I got to get home and watch the game. You know, and here's the thing. Don't invite other people's crazy into your life unless it's a life or death situation.
Now, somebody's getting beaten. I'm with you on that. That's the New York in you right there.
Yeah, if somebody's getting hurt, then I'm going to step in. But if you just beating the hell out of somebody's car, I'm not inviting that crazy into my day. No, I don't know what y'all are doing.
Yeah.
I don't know why your tires may need to be slashed. You may have done, I'm not
that
in
That is
this.
True. You don't know what's the context of the
not
situation
in
is.
This. Mind your damn business unless somebody's being hurt.
Spoken like a true New Yorker.
Spoken like a true, you know, intelligent person.
Yeah, but we know that y'all definitely know how to keep them blinders on when...
Listen, the thing that makes me not New York is that in New York, even if you're being hurt, people will still just keep going to the bodega.
Walk right over.
It's like, let me get a turkey with Swiss. They don't care. If I see somebody being hurt, I'm gonna say, you know, hey, I'm gonna at least acknowledge that somebody's being injured here. Whereas regular New Yorkers be like, man, whatever. Not my problem. Yeah. Better call your mother. That's how we say mother.
I'm not gonna lie. Call nowadays they might pull out their phone and put it on their story. Man,
that's what your generation would do.
I've seen some crazy stuff. I'm not gonna lie.
No one does nosy better than me. Photos. We found 378 photos.
He good what he do, because I don't know how he found it.
These are years of snooping, okay?
I know you nosy too. Head over to Nosy where you can watch full episodes of The Karamo Show and be nosy with me.
We're gonna move on to the next story. And this also has to do with Disney. So I'm curious because this is kind of tied into what's just going on with that car. We know there's been, I feel like, a lot of, how do I put it, heated situations all around the world. I feel like a little bit more lately. People are a little bit more on edge. A lot more fights and stuff happening. Apparently, there's been an uptick in fights at Disney World, too. It's supposed to be the happiest place on earth. I feel like that is kind of telling of where we are right now.
That's because it's hard to be happy in Florida right now. Okay. You can't be happy in Florida when the governor's a damn fool.
There's been brawls and lines at Disney World, literally in Peter Pan's ride.
Yeah.
People fighting in line, throwing people.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and you think it's Florida.
But the other part of it is I think people have come out of, two and a half years of social isolation.
Mm-hmm.
I think rage has become fashionable. I think being ostentatious and ridiculous and obtuse has become the thing that gets you attention. People crave attention more than we have ever craved it before.
Yeah.
And the more ridiculous you are, the more people want to see it.
Yeah.
People will give you likes and follows and whatever the whatever
it is. Because it's been getting highlighted and praised so much that I feel like it continues. I feel like if it was deemed, you know, by the media and by mainstream or whatever, as this is not cool no more, people would stop doing it. But it ain't what people focus on in the media.
But it's not mainstream media.
It's not even just mainstream. It's just everybody.
Well, hold on. Mainstream media aren't the ones reporting these stories. You see most of these stories on social media.
Social. Yeah, that's
true. And the reason people are posting them all the time is because numbnuts are watching them.
Yeah, they're just looking at numbers.
You get a lot of views because people like to see fights and car crashes. And my point is, to be succinct, that says something about the kind of people we are producing, and it says something about the kind of culture that we are.
Yeah.
We are producing people who are fascinated with violence.
Yeah, to the point where Disney World has to implement new guidelines to encourage people to be nice to each other. The happiest place on earth is, they call it.
It is symptomatic of the temperature and the temperament of the country.
How you mad getting on roller coasters?
Because you were mad before you came to the park.
Yeah.
You were mad before you left your house.
You're right.
When you got up in the morning and you looked over at the wife you don't want no more.
Yeah.
And the family that you don't value. and the education you could have had if you had applied yourself more. And the money you could have made if you had decided to be disciplined.
Yeah.
Before you left your house.
Uh-huh.
You had a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
I'm about to be racial, especially if you're white.
Oh, God.
Where you feel like the world owes you something because you were born wonderful. You were born immaculate. And the fact that you haven't achieved it, and then you look and see other people getting it.
Yeah, and now
you were mad when you got to the park. No, let's be racial in the reverse.
Yeah.
Because if you're black and you've had to struggle and fight your way out of something and deal with all the craziness in your family and still find a way to be sane and productive,
you
was mad before you got to the park.
So don't test that person either.
Don't. There's some people in line, you might leave everybody in the line alone because you don't know what they bring it to the table.
That is true. I got a question then. This a little off topic, but kind of. So I got a place that I know is very upset for, or very hard for me to ever be upset at. That's just like my place that if like I'm there, I know I'm probably 99% of the time gonna be in a good mood or a better mood than I was before I got there. Mine is the beach. Where's yours? Is there anywhere?
I don't know.
You don't have a place that's like your happy place?
Do I have a happy place?
This is a question I've never asked you in all of our years of friendship.
I have tentative answers.
Okay.
All right. So I'm happy in a bookstore.
That was one of my guesses.
I'm happy in a bookstore.
I was going to say sitting in Barnes & Noble somewhere.
Yeah, but I want to be there by myself.
That's what I was about to say.
Which never happens. Okay. I'm also happy in a cigar place.
Because
cigars are very therapeutic, you know, isolating experiences. So if I smoke a cigar with you, mm-hmm. so like sometimes I smoke with Tyler and I smoke a cigar, you're special.
Yeah.
Because when I'm in a cigar place, I don't usually want to talk to you.
That's usually your sanctuary.
Yeah, like leave me alone. So yeah. if I'm saying no, come.
Yeah.
Because you are tantamount to the joy that I get when it's just me by myself. I'm just saying. So those of you who I smoke cigar with, you all feel valuable. But I don't know if I have a place where I can say I'm 99% happy.
Where it kind of washes your
sorrow away. I've just learned how. Whatsoever state I'm in, the Apostle Paul says, wherever I find myself, I've just learned how to pull something good out of it.
That's important.
Yeah, I don't load up a particular place. Because what happens when you go to the place and it no longer has the same effect?
Then you got to find another one, I guess.
or you stop looking for special places.
And you bring in your happiness from within. That's what they, you know.
You stop believing in the magic of a place. And you start realizing that you can recreate that same feeling.
Yeah, you're the magic.
I almost slapped you with my shoe. That's how good that was.
You the magic.
Hashtag you the magic.
You the magic.
I love that.
Me too.
Boy, that should be on a shirt. Starting to sound like me.
Yeah, that should be on a shirt somewhere.
Okay, too far.
I mean, hey.
Too much.
I literally have the rose that grew from the concrete on my shirt, and that is in essence exactly what we're talking about.
That is in essence not what we're talking
well
about.
If you can create roses anywhere,
we are not talking about the rose.
Obviously, so check me out. I'm looking at it through the lens of dominion and being able to be anywhere and own that space and turn it into something that comes from within you. I believe anywhere that I go, I change the whole DNA of wherever I'm at. I don't care where it is. Why? Because
you certainly
I'm
changed this show,
you know. But it works for, you know, everyone, I feel like, you know, and everybody affects everything differently. So for me, I try to bring my light into any place that I'm in. So if it's dark there, it's going to be lighter when I get there. If it's light already, I'm going to add more
light.
Okay,
but I'm going to be philosophical.
That's what I'm getting at too right now, so.
Not really, because.
A little bit.
No. We're going to clean this up philosophically, okay?
Let's go.
Because words and definitions matter.
Okay.
What you're talking about is absolutely true.
Yeah.
I've admire, honor, and value what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You're talking about dominion. You're talking about the ability to be oneself, mm-hmm. right? But that's not what
we're... It's not finding happiness.
Let me finish this sentence.
Okay.
What we're talking about is contentment.
Okay.
Which, philosophically, they're not the same.
Yeah.
So your ability to assert yourself, mm-hmm. right, in any situation, any place.
But also feel good to the point where I'm happy
not
being able to find
that. Same.
Okay.
Summoning your own contentment, the ability mm-hmm. to find joy, magic, right, mm-hmm. is a very different thing. It takes a very different set of skills, mm-hmm. a very different approach to where you are. If I come in a room and the room is full of enemies or friends, and I do this, cross my legs, that's a different spirit.
Yeah.
I'm about to will myself
into this.
In this moment.
Yeah.
And you picked the wrong day to be my enemy. Right?
Yeah.
He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Okay.
But if I'm sitting in a room with a lot going on and I do this.
Your defense is down.
I'm enjoying
yeah.
what I'm seeing, who's there. Mm-hmm. I don't feel a need to assert.
Yeah.
I'm summoning the magic you spoke of. Mm-hmm. Those are two very different things.
And to your point, I definitely understand what you're saying. And I think that having both of those gifts are so important because
yes.
one of them comes with being comfortable being your full self wherever you are.
Yes.
Another one comes with not having to pull happiness from other people in other situations.
Or places.
And right. that's one of those things that I think I've been able to develop too. But I do know that it started for me when I moved to Florida and I realized when I was at the beach, I didn't give a shit about nothing else.
Yeah, it's good.
I was like, wow. I was like, this is really one of those, because I didn't have that growing up. It was somewhere that I was always dreaming and picturing. Like, I wish I could just sit on a beach right now when I was back home in Cleveland staring at, you know, trees
bricks.
With no leaves on them.
No, staring at bricks.
And bricks.
A lot of brick buildings
brown,
in Cleveland.
Brown and gray stuff. And, you know, to be able to be on the beach, I feel like it's one of those things for me. So I actually bring and summon those same feelings up wherever I am. And I use that in my art, of course, as well, because I know what that feeling feels like now. But it takes you finding something that makes you feel, I feel like that, before you're able to really know what that feels like and be able to develop that skill that you're talking about. Because if you can't, if you don't have anything to, if you don't know, you don't know. You know what I mean? You don't know what it feels like. There's no way you're going to truly be able to keep on replicating and, you know,
no,
test
I,
that skill.
I think you're right. And I think
I feel
you're
like it's a train thing almost.
I think there are, as the kids say, there are levels to this.
Yeah.
I think at one level of your life, a place can elicit.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are attached to the place. I think at another level of your life, which I would consider to be a higher level,
mm-hmm.
You can conjure the magic yourself.
Exactly.
But that's, you know, that's Nelson Mandela in jail for 27 mm-hmm. years, who can't get to the place,
mm-hmm.
but he can still find the magic.
Mm-hmm.
That's Martin Luther King in a Birmingham jail.
Mm-hmm.
He can't get to Coretta, but he can summon the magic. You follow me?
Amen.
That's yep. Malcolm being rejected by the Nation of Islam. He can't be connected to what he wants, but he can still summon the magic.
It'll change a lot of lives.
And that's where a lot of us need to get to, where we become conjurers.
Yeah.
I mean, in the rich African sense,
mm-hmm.
right? Can conjure the spirit, the emotion, the energy, the vibe. You know what I'm saying?
Out of nothing.
Like, man, if you become your own conjurer,
anything is possible.
You don't have to run to a church. You ain't got to run to a bishop.
Nope.
You ain't got to run to Rihanna, mm-hmm. Beyonce, Chris Brown, LeBron James, or Michael Jordan. You know how to create that own your own energy and vibration that inspires you to do extraordinary things.
Exactly.
Being your own conjurer, to me, is the secret to greatness.
It's the secret ingredients, y'all. You hear that? That's the secret sauce.
Listen, man, there have been days in my life when I didn't have money.
Yeah.
I didn't have real friends.
Mm-hmm.
Metaphorically speaking, all I had was a drum and a shower. And I would get in that shower and play my music.
I love that.
Woo! I'm about to cry.
I love that.
I would get in that shower, man, and talk to myself.
Yeah.
And that's where I learned how to conjure. So
it came from situations like being, you know.
But you know what, you've had to do it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Right, where you say, you know what? This is a horrible week. But I'm going to speak in your voice. But Rich, I'm going to be all right. You know what I'm saying? You've had to do it. Where you say, listen, ain't nobody calling, ain't nobody helping. I got to help my damn self
right
now. I got to
do something.
I love you, self. You're going to be all
right. You
got
to have those talks with yourself. And part of growing up, I think, is that honesty, you know, having honest conversations with yourself.
Yeah.
Honest conversations with yourself is hard. That is not something that's easy by any means. And I'm learning that the older that I get. And it's just something I think that is very valuable that everybody can learn from at any age.
Yeah.
And the earlier that you start, the better off you're going to be.
I mean, this may seem unrelated, but here's one of the things that I've discovered and learned. And I'm talking now to all the parents out there. I've discovered that a lot of people are not proficient at the practice of loving themselves. Not because they don't want to, but because their parents and those that raised them and knew them first
mm-hmm.
never identified for them something that they should love. And I think that What we ought to do for our children, and certainly our grandchildren, is to point out to them the things that are entirely lovable, so that once they develop the capacity to do so, they can direct those emotions at something. If you tell me to love myself vacuously, generally, then I'm saying, well, what about me am I supposed to love?
Yeah, and you don't even know exactly what that
because
is.
Because I've not had enough people tell me, you are beautiful, you are intelligent, you are courageous.
To the point where you start to believe it and
when
know
that
go, about
oh,
yourself.
When you say love myself, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Because until you can... We never know what we look like until someone puts us in front of a mirror.
We discover ourselves through other people.
Exactly, 100%, right?
Absolutely.
So I'm saying, you know, in order to conjure your own magic, in order to be able to speak well of yourself, you have to know the things about you that are entirely valuable.
That's why I love acting so much, to be honest with you. Like, all of what you just spoke about is what changed my life single-handedly, because I was given that knowledge of, like, okay, I can actually believe, you know, people when they tell me these things, because I'm hearing them from, I got to test it, you know what I mean? So many times where it was like, oh, I've been hearing this enough now to the point where this must be true. If people that don't even know me are all saying these same things. And I think I struggled in the beginning with believing it because I hadn't heard a lot of these things so much growing up. I was just an athlete. I was just, you know, this and that. I was the jock. I was, you know, whatever. And you get to a point where, for yourself, really loving yourself, you gotta start believing what people are telling you when it's good and speaks to the things that you know and see in yourself already. Yeah. And when I started to see those things were lining up, I was like, I've always felt that about myself. Now people are actually telling me, that changed me completely, because now it was like, okay, I actually trust that. I trust myself. I know myself. And that was where this journey started of like, okay, I wanna know more about what it is that makes me me and that people, you know, may love that I don't know already. And that started the rabbit hole for me, but I think everybody has the opportunity to go on that journey, because we all have people in our lives that have been sources of discovery for us realizing who we really are, you know, and how we affect other people and where we fit in this world. A lot of people don't know where they fit in this world and are spending their whole lives trying to figure that out.
Imagine, though, how much further along you would be if you had received those remarks at the beginning, in what I would call the morning of your years.
Yeah.
And imagine how much further most of us would be.
Most of us would.
If we were raised by people, wait for it, who were raised by people, hold on, who were raised by people who empowered them to see it. But because we were raised by people who were raised by people who were raised by people for whom struggle and trauma and sacrifice and heartbreak and joy and what they thought was love predominated and dominated their days. Mm-hmm. They didn't quite have the time, the wherewithal, or the capacity to sit down and say to a little girl or to a little boy, when you look in your eyes, this is what you should see.
That is so powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, it... You just got to marinate on that one for a second. That one... Because it explains so much. It literally explains the state of the world, the state of life, the state of people right now. It's the source of that. People not seeing one another and actually expressing what they truly see.
Yeah.
And the dangerous part is when you got that vulnerability from somebody and people don't do the right thing with it. And now somebody is scared to really be themselves because they feel like someone may take advantage of them being them full selves if somebody doesn't handle that sensitive space, you know, the right way. And man, we could talk about that for hours. That's a good one, man. I hope y'all pick that up. I really do. You ready for this next story? I feel like we just went on a real...
He was really moved.
I was really moved by that. Because that's the kind of stuff that I think about often and have to think about as an artist in my position. But it's also the same things that have changed me as a person and as a man and why I have compassion. And I feel like I give people the space to fully be themselves, because I know what it's like not to have that space and feel like I'm stuck in a ball that ain't even my ball, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Got to be free. Got to be yourself. There's people out there that don't
know. Can I jump in and say this before we move on? And this goes back to parenting, and it also goes back to relationships across the board, but romantic and friendships. I don't think we ask our children, our lovers, whoever, spouse, husband, wife, blah, blah, blah. I don't think we ask people what it is they need to hear.
Yeah.
I don't think we ask them what they didn't hear. So if I'll make it personal.
Mm-hmm.
So I was never told when I was a kid that I was good looking,
mm-hmm,
or handsome,
mm-hmm,
or beautiful. I was told I was smart.
Mm.
I was told I was brave. I was told I was strong.
Mm.
But what I needed to hear was that I was beautiful.
Mm.
So I spent most of my life never feeling attractive.
Not believing that.
Never feeling beautiful, never feeling attractive. Even when people told me that I was.
It was uncomfortable now.
I didn't believe them.
Yeah, it just wasn't it.
Because the people who knew me first and knew me the most, they never said it to me.
You're like, they're the ones that really know me. So
you think, my thought was, what do you really want?
Yeah, what you want?
And at no point did anyone ever ask me, what does your soul need to hear?
Mm.
Because I'm going to make that the basis of all my sentence constructions in your life.
You are preaching today.
I'm just saying. I'm saying.
That need to go viral. I need the world to hear that. I want to get a megaphone. You got a megaphone?
You kind of got one.
No, like I need a megaphone.
It's like, what
I need
you,
it even
what
louder.
Do you call this?
I need to be able to put this. I need to be able to put this so people outside can hear this right now. Because that is everything. That's everything.
Yeah.
That's soul.
That's soul.
That's soul.
Put a little fox in front of
you. Yeah.
And here we are.
And here we are. That's soul. Like if you came to Fox Soul for some soul, consider yourself served. Because that was soul food right there, Doc. We're going to move on to this next story because we're going to be talking about this all day. And
plus, I don't want to cry.
Yeah.
Aaron might think I'm a punk. He's like, you're over there crying.
You're beautiful, Sean.
Thank you.
You're beautiful, man.
Aaron, you just said I was beautiful right then. Tyler did. It's just too late, boy. Keep going.
Man. Okay. So this is New York Post. But it's not in New York, it's in Bangladesh. So according to the New York Post, first of all, did you play hide and seek growing up?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite hiding spot? Or were you a good hide and seek player, or were you just somebody that was kind of like?
I didn't put my whole heart in it.
No.
Okay. I just thought,
I feel like in New York it'd be a little, well, depending on where you are. In Brooklyn, maybe not, but if you were in the city, it'd be pretty tough. Play hide and seek. You'd never find people.
They'll be missing for 30 years.
Yeah, so that's the funny part about this story, though. So check this out. This kid got everybody beat. A 15-year-old boy was playing hide-and-seek, and he accidentally locked himself inside a shipping container during the game.
Well, there you have it.
And he was discovered a week later in another country. So he didn't took hide-and-seek to a whole other level, because 6 days later,
he's in another country.
He's in another country, and that was when they found him.
Listen, can I say a few things?
Go for it.
Notice how when you asked me did I play hide and seek, my response was, I didn't put my whole heart in it. This is an example of someone taking a game a little too seriously. Or a kid not realizing that the way you play might end up affecting how you live. So if you're playing a game to the degree where you're even willing to risk the possibility of being locked into something, you're taking this game too far.
So check it out. It was an accident.
He's a kid.
This is what happened. He hid in the container and he fell asleep. So it took him so long to find him.
Okay,
and he ended up falling asleep. And the container was loaded on a commercial ship headed to Malaysia. And this started off in Bangladesh. Where he was discovered in Westport 6 days later. Starved and dehydrated at that. You gotta think about it. It ain't like he was just walking around the ship. He was in a container. And he was taken to the hospital and he's okay now. But I think he definitely won that game. For sure.
That's terrible. I think he definitely won that game.
I think he is the hide and seek king after that.
Yeah, but this is an example of I'd rather you play a video game.
Yeah, in this case. Yeah, but
I'd rather you be in the house than be locked in a container for 6 days.
But I was just saying, I like the fact that kids are still even playing hide and seek, you know, at all.
But not like this, though, kids.
Yeah, he took it a little far. But
too much.
I do think that it's a good thing that hide and seek is still around, because I honestly didn't think kids still play games like this. I don't know what kids are doing in school.
Well, they're obviously playing it wrong.
Okay, we got a follow-up story from a previous episode. I'm sure you're going to remember this story when you hear about it. But according to 69 News in Pennsylvania, superintendent is recommended to review the Satan, After School Satan's Club. You remember that story?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and there's been threats that closed the school, honestly. For those who didn't see the story, a contested after-school program for non-theistic, is that the right word?
Theistic?
Yeah.
Non-theistic
Satanists, okay, was only being hotly debated. They were wondering if it should be allowed in school, if there should be, you know, this satanic club in school or not. Well, it got approved, and it's already back under review. So shortly after its approval, a threat was called into the school, causing the school to close.
Okay, hold on a second. Yeah. Because we need to pause and listen to this, Aaron, okay? Just follow this logic. So the Christians were all at the school. And then the Satanists at the school wanted to start a club. And in response to the Satanists at the school wanted to start a club, wait for it, the Christians got mad. So mad that they threatened the Satanists. So now the school is closed because the Christians threatened the Satanists with bodily harm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who's acting like Satanists?
They said it was a threat to the district.
Who's acting like the devil?
I think everybody crazy in this.
I mean, I would expect the Satanists to phone in a few threats, because they don't believe in nothing. Nobody ever told them, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Nobody ever told them, above all, that you shall love one another.
A local parent is planning
a prayer. I'm not done, and by this they will know that you are my disciples. Nobody ever told the Satanists, love is kind, love is patient, hopes all things, bears all things. Nobody ever told the Satanists that.
Yeah.
Nobody.
No.
Somebody told the Christians that. And in response to that, the Christians said, you know what? We don't like the Satanists, and we're going to threaten to blow up the damn school. Welcome to Christianity in America, where Christianity most times has nothing to do with Jesus. In fact, Jesus wouldn't recognize half these crazy Christians.
Man, what is the solution if this continues to happen in the school district? Do you suspend the program or do you close the school?
Well, let me tell you something. And this is just for full legal purposes. I am not giving advice. Allegedly.
This is all allegedly.
I would let them have the club and keep the school open, because most of these idiots who make these calls aren't going to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't shut my school down because some nut decided he's going to, I don't know what the threat was, you know. You shut a whole school down over a Satanist club?
I mean, I don't know.
I understand. Let me just be clear about this before we hear about this in the chat. I understand that people shoot up schools. I understand that school violence is a real thing in this country. So I'm not dismissing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not dismissing the real danger that comes along with that. I'm just saying that, why does this make you so angry? I mean, if you're religion is threatened by the absence of someone else's religion, you have a piss poor commitment to your religion.
I hear that.
I'm not threatened by you not believing. Mm-hmm. I don't need you to believe in order for me to value and to express what's a part of my religious sensibility. I don't, most people need other people to co-sign it in order for it to be true for them.
Yeah, which is crazy.
I have lived my faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let me tell you a story.
Let's go.
This what I'm about to tell you is a true story. This is not a play thing. So my junior year of college, I was trying to register to go back to school. I owed $6,000. And in my house, $6,000 was like $6 million.
Yeah.
We didn't have the money. So I go in to register to school, and the bursar, the financial person, says, oh, Sean, you owe $6,000. I don't know if you got the money. I'm like, I ain't got the money. She's like, I don't think you can register. I said, so what, I'm going to have to go back home? She says, yes. I said, well, what's the process for kicking me out? Because I can't go back and tell my mother I just let you kick me out. Yeah. I got to tell her I fought for this.
Yeah.
She said, well, the process is, you know, either you give us the money
or we kick you out.
You got to go upstairs, see the vice president of finance, and, you know, he likes to see the students that are being released. I said, whatever it is, man, I got to do the whole thing.
I got to do it.
Because I cannot go home and tell my mama I just let y'all kick me out.
Yeah.
So she writes a little thing on a little blue card, sends me upstairs. I talk to the vice president of finance. We talk a little bit. He says, man, you owe $6,000. I said, yeah, I don't have the money. He said, not a whole lot we can do. He said, but before you go home,
okay,
tell me about your time here. I said, I've been here, you know, 2 years. I stayed in this dorm for all those 2 years. He said, you stayed in the same dorm for 2 years? I said, I stayed in that dorm and in this particular room.
Yeah.
I had the same room for 2 years. He said, oh, really? He said, the whole time. I said, the whole time. He said, okay. But he wrote something on a card. I couldn't read his handwriting. Sent me back down and says, Sean, good luck. Sorry about this. $6,000 is a lot of money to us. I go back downstairs. I'm going somewhere. I give the woman a card. The woman takes the card, puts in my number, pseudo number, asks for my social security number. I give it to her. She looks at the screen. She looks at me. She says, give me the social security number again. I give her the number again. She looks at me and looks at the screen. She says to another white lady, a little racial. I said, she says, Martha, come on over here and you take his number. I gave Martha my social security number. Martha puts it in, looks at the screen, looks at the woman, looks at me. Martha goes like this.
You're like, what's going on?
I said, man, what's going on? This is torture.
Yeah.
Y'all sending me home.
Right, why y'all doing this?
Why y'all, exactly, just kick me out. The woman said, the bursar said, who do you know? I said, I don't know anybody. She said, oh, no. Who do you know? I said, I don't know anybody. She said, I don't believe you. I said, ma'am, literally, I don't know nobody. She said, Sean, when you went upstairs, you owed us $6,000. When you came downstairs, we owe you $200. Who do you know?
Wow.
You think I need somebody else to co-sign my fate?
Nope.
You think a Satanist club's gonna bother me?
Talk to him.
Huh?
Talk to him.
You think because you don't believe that there's something bigger, that threatens the fact that I have lived something bigger?
Come on.
I had something bigger than me erase $6,000 worth of debt.
In seconds. Walking upstairs.
I walked out to the financial aid office with a check for $200.
Talk to him.
So you think you not believing in God
is going to affect?
It's going to do what for me?
And
you do
means...
you. I don't mind if you don't believe. In fact, I think more believers need to have friends who are not believers just to keep us sane and honest and faith. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But listen, you got to believe a damn thing. I know what I believe.
But I know what I believe. Come on now.
I know what I've lived.
I know what I've seen.
You cannot tell me.
I know where I've been. I know what's been done for me.
Nothing bigger than me.
Nothing.
Now, it may not be the Christian conception.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be.
But there's something going on.
That's bigger than us.
You know what the end of that story is?
What's up?
So, my freshman year, I had a roommate. And my friends and I came back to the room and we found him on the floor. And it seemed like he had attempted to commit suicide.
Really?
So we took him to the hospital, tried to contact his parents, who were out of the country. And we were only able to contact his maternal grandparents. What we didn't know was that white kid was the stepson of the vice president of finance.
And that's how he knew that.
And when I told him what room I had been in,
he knew.
And when I told him I'd been there for 2 years,
he knew that there was a room.
He had been looking for a way to thank me for helping to save his stepson.
Wow.
And that's why you gotta be good to people.
Man.
No matter who they are.
You never know which one could be Jesus.
Listen, man, this kid was a white Russian Jew. As foreign to my experience as humanly possible. But in the moment of need, I didn't see none of that.
It ain't
I saw a human being.
Because that's what he was.
And because that's what he was. Mm-hmm. And little did I know, the principle works. You reap what you sow.
And it came twofold because.
Now, I don't know what part of the story we're supposed to be on.
It don't even matter.
But and it's a true story.
Y'all better be picking that up. That was a
true story.
That was a hell of a story, and that's one that I haven't heard, you know. So I love that because that talks about everything that we all always is bringing home on this show about humanity and trying to restore our faith in humanity after hearing some of these crazy stories.
I know. We're not gossiping, people. You got to watch that later on.
Yeah,
it's coming on next. We don't do that. We don't sit around and talk.
We ain't gossiping over here.
We don't gossip about people and talk bad about people. You know, when we do talk about celebrities, and we will, I just have a different take on it. I try to learn from people.
Because life is all about perspective. And if you want to focus on one thing, that's what you're going to get. I want to focus on getting something positive out of everything I experience, and I know you're the same. And I think that's one of the things that we have a commonality on, even with our sense of humor, because we do have a sense of humor that can go anywhere. But at the same time, what's rooted in that is our basis of wanting to always find something to learn from out of any situation to make us
better.
And plus,
you're easy on the eyes. This guy's good looking, isn't he? Like ridiculous.
That may help a little bit, I guess, in some.
Easy on the eyes, my friend. Now you gotta celebrate that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And it's one of them things where I just love relationships with people that, you know, definitely are more focused on that. So kudos to us for doing this, because we did this for 9 years without nobody hearing none of our conversations. And now
that's true,
people
that's
actually
a great
get
thought.
To learn from them.
I never thought about that. We
never saw this coming.
Yeah, we have been doing this for 9 years. Yeah.
And these are the kind of things that have helped me grow, and I'm glad that y'all get to grow with me now, because it definitely makes a difference. So I'm giving you your flowers while you're here. Thank you for that.
He's giving me flowers.
He's giving you your flowers, man.
Thank you. Well, thank you for
Take
that.
Take this rose off of my shirt.
Want the best of Maury? Kevin, you are not.
Want the best of the Steve Wilkos Show? Would you take Dave back if he left Dave?
Want the best of Jerry Springer?
Just download Nosy on your mobile device or stream it on Pluto TV, Samsung TV, or the Roku channel. Until next time, America.
All right, you ready for the next story? This should restore our faith a little bit, and it's going back to my home state of Ohio. So, according to CBS News, back in Ohio, a man and his fiance were driving along the highway, right? And they saw a FedEx truck with its flashers on. And his fiance said that it looked like the driver was throwing something out on the side of the road, you know, from the truck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they ended up turning around and investigating what they were throwing out because it looked like a bunch of boxes. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently this driver was throwing packages off the truck on the side of the highway. So they picked up these packages. They called every number on each package and delivered the packages to the people themselves. Can you believe that?
Oh, that's really nice.
Who does that? Yeah. Only an Ohioan.
Whoa.
Just playing.
That was a broad extrapolation.
No, wow. I love my people, though. And, you know, it's definitely amazing because I don't know what I would have been thinking if I was one of those people that received a call. It was a random person telling me they was about
I
to
got
deliver
your package.
My pack. I don't know how that would have rolled over with most people.
I'd be at your house at 2.
Pull up. Yeah, they got your address.
That's true. Ain't a whole lot you can do. You just got to trust that it's going to work out. But shout out to those people.
Yeah, shout out to them.
I mean,
that
restores some sense that human beings are still capable of extreme
selflessness,
moments of kindness.
That's a lot of gas,
generosity.
Probably too, driving around. But who knows?
No,
it doesn't
but
say
but let's ask a more interesting question. I don't know what we're doing, how we're doing with time. But let's ask a more interesting question. How is that kind of person constructed? How do you build that kind of person?
You know, my hunch in this situation says that this couple probably are very nice people that fuel each other. I don't think you just come across somebody by themselves that would do this, but I think the fact that they were together, because his fiance brought it up to him, you know what I mean? And it was kind of a dialogue, it seems like, that happened of like, what's going on there? And curiosity. But I think if you were by yourself, I don't see somebody doing that, personally.
Well,
I think it makes it a lot easier to follow through with an act like that when somebody, you know, is there with you and you guys are kind of weighing the situation. But
that's part of a provisional answer, that the way you construct and build and produce such a person is to do it in relationship with other people who are like-minded. That maybe it is almost impossible or extremely difficult for us to have that kind of altruism by ourselves in isolation. Mm. I bet you this kind of person isn't on TikTok all day.
I bet you they not.
I bet you they not.
They probably did post a TikTok of it though if I had to stop.
He just ruined the whole thing, didn't he? Didn't he just ruin that?
These are the kind of stories that you see on TikTok, I feel like, you know.
Didn't he just ruin that?
I wasn't trying to ruin it. I'm just being honest.
I bet they posted it on TikTok.
I ain't gossiping, but I'm keeping it real. That's probably what happened.
I ain't gossiping, but I'm keeping it real.
That's probably what happened, let's be real. Somebody that got a package, I bet you put it on TikTok. Where do you think Tyler get these stories from, huh? How often do you think this happens, though?
Probably more than you think.
Yeah.
There are good people in the world. I refuse to believe that the darkness is so pervasive and overwhelming that it has corrupted everything and everybody.
Yeah.
I do not believe that. I was sitting outside of a hotel in Atlanta this week, smoking a cigar, as I am apt to do, and a white guy was sitting across from me from North Carolina. He's from Charlotte, North Carolina. He's a conservative. He's a Republican. He is super religious, evangelical Christian. Mm. We have nothing in common. And I was very keen to make him aware that I was not a Republican. I'm not evangelical. Clearly, I'm not white. I am not a conservative.
Yeah.
And I don't support Donald Trump. He's all that. So we were just sitting across from each other. And he started talking about his granddaughter. And so I said, well, that's my way in.
Mm-hmm.
Politics, we ain't gonna connect.
Yeah.
He thought that racism was overrated. Mm-hmm. We can't connect on
go
that
there.
Either. We can't connect on that either. He smoked a nasty cigar. We couldn't even connect on that.
You didn't even like his taste of cigars.
But he started talking about his granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to him, how do you feel when you walk in to see your granddaughter? And he said, wait for it. I feel as if every mistake I ever made, I have a chance to undo it in her success. To which I said to him, and not just her success. I said, you have a chance to undo it and how you give yourself permission to grow. He said to me, I'm going somewhere.
I know.
He said to me, Chicago, murder capital, New York, all these murders, LA, all these murders, all these liberal cities. So I brought it back in the conversation later and said, you give yourself a chance to grow. I said, well, here's what you should know. The murder capital of America is Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. Not Illinois, not New York, or not California. He had no idea that that was the case. And I left him with this. When it's all said and done, if you do not give yourself permission to think beyond the world that shapes you and forms you, and you allow yourself to connect with people as they are, I gave that man grace. I could have dismantled him many times in that conversation.
Yeah.
But I gave him grace, and I connected with him at the level of his grandchild, which allowed me later on to challenge his worldview. And that's what people don't do. There are good people in the world.
You got to start with the love. You found the love is the door, you know.
Because there, I mean, this guy, I don't think this was a bad guy.
No.
I think that he's just listened to bad information.
And you found the window to his soul through his daughter.
Granddaughter.
Or granddaughter, sorry.
There are good people in the world.
Yeah.
We just have to give goodness an opportunity to flourish.
I agree.
And we have to give goodness the same attention that we give mendacity.
And that's why we got to lead with it. I think, you know, a lot of times that doesn't happen because it doesn't start out that way. And when you first, you know, have a first impression with somebody, which, You know, this is a prime example.
Which I did.
Yeah, you have an opportunity, though, to be able to make a decision of whether you want to let your all your baggage that you bring in, you know, stand in the way and between you and that person, or if you're going to sit it on the side of you and y'all going to put your differences aside and focus on what you guys do have that resembles somewhat love, you know, in some fashion or form. Yeah. And when you lead with that, that baggage, you start to realize, isn't nearly as heavy when you actually can see the person in front of you.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I agree with that.
Yeah, and you don't feel like that baggage is being hidden either, because yeah. Now it started off with the love. Now it doesn't feel like I'm coming from a place of judgment. It's coming from a place of I'm here with you. We are both people.
But can I say this? To all the people watching right now who don't believe that there's still goodness in the world or good people in the world, okay, I have a challenge for you.
Look at us.
Okay, too much. But I have a challenge for you. You be the good person in your house. You don't have to believe that there's goodness in the world. If you believe in goodness, then you be the good person in you be the good one in your family. You be the good one in the marriage. You be the person in your house that manifests whatever goodness that's left in the world. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to believe that there's good people everywhere. Just let there be goodness where you are.
Yeah.
And then you proceed to believe that. And for people who use evil in the world to excuse their moral responsibility to be better, well, you're the same as the thing you condemn.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Man, are we
well
done?
Well said. I think that's a positive note to end it on. I think a lot of people are going to learn from a lot of what we talked about this episode. So why not end on that note? I think going on to another story is just going to take away from all that wisdom you just threw out there. So let's do that.
Well, he's put the iPad down, which is a keen indication that
I feel like we resolved that episode.
It's a keen indication that the episode is over. But the party continues, people, because we'll be back next week. Make sure you tune in. Thank you for this. Thank you for your time and your attention. We always value it and never take it for granted. We'll see you soon, all right?
Till next time.
McMillan and Morrow.
Out of here. That was good.